$1 pair of earbuds. I got these fancy things over here, cost about $980. Of course, they don't work. So this does. And the dollar store. I got new earbuds in. I changed my microphone here a little bit. Maybe I have to move it up and down. But new look. I don't look like I'm flying a jet airplane anymore. But I still hear you just as well, actually more perfectly than I have in the past. Welcome to all of you out there. We got 16 of you in the queue. Got a new phone number today. Got a brand new phone, especially for the program. Now, if you're out there listening and you're not watching, you're listening and you want to make a comment, I'm going to give you a number here that you can call. Now, here's what will happen. The phone will ring and I'll answer it. I'll say, hang on. And I'll just sit there. Then I'll say, okay, caller. And then we'll bring you in here on the speakerphone. I know this is low tech, but it's the best thing that we've got figured out at this point. And crazy. Hey, listen, folks, the trolls are going crazy. We must really be making an impact, man. They are all over us. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I don't know if you've done this or not. I'm looking at my email I got from Jared this morning. I had computer issues again this morning. And I asked Jared, or maybe it was an email. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's on the email. I said, hey, Jared, how many followers do we have on YouTube? And subscribers. And he said, about 4,600. That's pretty good. Do me a favor. If you're watching right now and you've never done this, go to the YouTube page, CoachDave.tv, CoachDave.tv, and subscribe. Just subscribe. Now, it's not for my ego, but it makes a difference in a lot of the algorithms that Google and YouTube and Facebook, those subscriptions matter, okay? So all you have to do is go to YouTube, click on CoachDave.tv, and hit the subscribe button, and that means you subscribe to our channel. So I would appreciate if you would do that. I got to warn you. I don't know. I got to be careful because I believe that. Listen to this now. Sometimes the devil plants thoughts in your brain. Sometimes he plants thoughts. And you know the Bible says that the old Word of Faith movement says life and death is in the power of the tongue. That you speak your own future. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, although I believe there's a truth to it. I believe there is. And a lot of times the enemy will plant a thought in your head. And you have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to discern. It shouldn't be that hard to discern which voice is of the devil and which voice is of the Lord. So you have to be careful what you say. So I want to be careful in how I say this, but I want you to understand. Many people who have programs like this, YouTube programs, are beginning to be censored. I don't know if you know of Lynn Liaz. Some of you probably never even heard of Lynn Liaz. Lynn Liaz is down in, she's coming out of just south of Dayton, Ohio. She's been broadcasting on the YouTube channel with 57,000 subscribers or whatever. And then she monetized it. I haven't monetized any of my stuff. In other words, think about this. TV commercials. When you turn on a TV, you turn on a radio, you listen to Rush Limbaugh, they go to 5 minutes of commercials. That's how Limbaugh is able to make all that money people pay to hear, right? Well, YouTube also now is, I don't even know how it works, called monetizing it. In other words, there are commercials on YouTube. I could probably monetize this program right now, every 15 minutes go to a commercial and can make some money that way. I haven't done that. But a lot of the people who are on YouTube do that. Lynn Liaz is one of them. And she's been totally, completely demonetized. Meaning what? YouTube took away from her ability to be able to make money through YouTube. And they demonetized you because they said, well, that's the improper contact. That's the improper subject matter. She said something, this doesn't go along with our community standards. And by doing that, they're beginning to silence and I know that she's a smart, I hate to keep doing that, I'm sorry. And to begin to control the information that's going out over the internet. Folks, they're beginning to do that everywhere. The Hagmans, Doug and Joe Hagman, I know they're facing the same things. Alex Jones is facing the same thing. Think about TV commercials. That's what it means to monetize YouTube. We haven't done that. But many people do. Make a lot of money. Lynn Liaz lost, like she said, 90% of her income, which surprisingly was a lot of money she was getting through YouTube. And so there's a real censoring that's going on. I don't know if you're able to see it or not. All the media manipulation and everything that's going on. So we're working behind the scenes here, trying to figure out how we can be prepared when that day comes, because that day's certainly going to come. Now, why haven't nobody filed a class action lawsuit against it for viewpoint discrimination? I don't know. You know, Facebook has basically become like AT&T has become like your local telephone system. Everything goes through Facebook, right? Well, how can they say it's a private organization? And say they can make you bake a homo cake, but they can't let your content, your free speech go out there? Because I think the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, not homo cake baking. Yet the government's trying to force us to bake homo cakes and then trying to control what we say. And it's all happening because our team has not engaged in battle. We do not fight. We just don't. I don't know why. Did you guys see this? There were about 5 different cities yesterday, maybe more than that. I saw 5 where there were post-Charlottesville protests. Post-Charlottesville protests. Ask yourself this. How are they so organized? If I called for a protest, I don't care what it is. We love Jesus protest. Whatever. If I called for a protest here in my local, I wouldn't get 5 people to come. If you look out and in 5 different states, cities, probably more than that, yesterday they had anti-Trump protests again. How are they doing that? And better yet, why aren't we? Why aren't we doing it? Why does the church, which I don't know if you figured this out, the Southern Baptist Convention, do you have any idea what a connected network that is? How all those churches are connected? How easy it would be to get Christians out on the streets? It's just the Southern Baptist Convention decided that they were going to work to do that and enforce legislation. The Assemblies of God, do you have any idea how big that organization is? How many churches are connected to the Assemblies of God that could hit the streets and write letters and make phone calls? Do you have any idea? See, we already have that network set up, but we're all about world. Okay, Lord, I'll say it. Okay. I'm going to the eclipse on Monday. Okay. No, it's next Monday. Total eclipse. We're going to be in Boise, Idaho. It will be the center of every kook in America is going to be there. All the God love, or all the tree huggers and all the sky worshipers and all, they're all going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. Well, we're going to be there too, because we're going to be here, the watchman in Boise. But here's part of my frustration, and I say this at risk of making some of my friends angry. I wish we spent less time studying the times in the skies and more time studying what's going on around us. Now, the eclipse is probably a big event. I don't know. Where is it prophetically? I don't. Is it a sign in heaven? Well, there's all kinds of signs in the earth. So we get so focused on looking at signs of what might be coming that we don't take care. It'd be like me sitting out watching my garden grow and watching the roof decay on the house. Oh, isn't that producing the most beautiful fruit out there? Look at the size of those tomatoes, and there's a hole in my roof. And my wife says, honey, the water's coming. And I say, yeah, I know, but boy, look, it doesn't matter, honey, because look at those tomatoes. Those are big ones. In a lot of sense, that's what I think we do. We ignore what's right around us so we can control. Folks, if it's the end of the world, if the sign of the times, if the rapture is coming at the full moon eclipse, I'm sorry, at the eclipse of the sun on the whatever day that is next week, if that's it, there ain't anything I can do about it. And if I really believed that was going to happen, I would have already sold everything that I had. I would have. And we look around us, and the Lord's just saying, how about this? How about fixing your roof? Will you fix your roof? Quit worrying about the moon. I'm going to go watch the moon, okay? I'm going to go watch the eclipse of the moon. I am. But I go with an entirely different purpose. Let's think about this. Drop something. Hey, I can hear you today. I couldn't hear you yesterday. I can hear you today. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, all those people that think the rapture's coming because of the eclipse of the sun. Is it only that one little strip of shadow that's going to get raptured? Everybody else on the face of the earth is going to be hung around?
Well, you know what, Larry? Here was a point that I saw yesterday. It is so typical. It's so typical of us. See, we think it's a sign in the heavens because it's happening in America. It's coming over America. You know, there are eclipses all the time. They're a regular occurrence. There are eclipses all the time. But we think God is an American. And so therefore, we think everything that happens in America is a sign. And I mean, I'm not here to argue it. I'm just not here to argue it. I'm going to go watch it. But I look outside my door, babies are being slaughtered. Marriage is being destroyed. Our children are being lied to in our schools. We're being sprayed, believe it or not. They're doing something to us, chemically. There's stuff in our water. Our government is out of control. Taxation's out of control. The money's fake. And I'm worried about signs in the sky. I don't need any signs in the sky. I can see it. Anybody with me out there?
They're with you, brother.
Agreed.
Right?
Amen, coach.
We become so heavenly conscious we're no earthly good. I was thinking about this. I got some stuff to share with you today. Bear with me. What are they going to say about you when you're dead? You know, I was at a funeral last week, and I think I told you that. And they went up, they did a little eulogy of my aunt who died. It was really, you know, it was really sweet. All these things that she'd done in her life, and it was really neat. And I thought, what are they going to say about me when I die? And then I got thinking about this. What are they saying about Robert E. Lee? Do you think Robert E. Lee had any idea what they'd be saying about him in down Charlottesville, Virginia right now? You think if he could look back, he said, I wasn't racist. Where did they come up with this stuff? Or what if John F. Kennedy hadn't been killed? Think of all the stuff they say about John F. Kennedy now, or how about this, stuff they don't say about him, was he killed? Dr. Martin Luther King. The truth ever be told on Dr. Martin Luther King? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. But see, they're not going to say that because there's somebody out there trying to dictate or control the narrative. I call it the American narrative, the Western civilization narrative, but it's the Christian narrative. Think what they're saying about Jesus now. You think if Jesus had could, he'd scratch his head and say, what? What? Where did you get that? I think he would. Go to Galatians 3. Boy, it's funny how the Lord ties these things together. What are they going to say about you when you... You know, I've used this illustration before. I love my wife so much. My wife is the sweetest little woman that you could ever meet. Some of you met her, so you could say amen if you wanted to. I make a pretty simple listening up there. She's the sweetest little woman that you'd ever want to meet. And I jokingly say to people that I'm the lion and she's the lamb. The lion will lay down with the lamb. So we're fulfillment of prophecy, Michelle and I. We're fulfillment of scripture. But she goes, like, she went to a high school reunion. She did that. But she also went then to a funeral of a mother of one of her classmates. And they all know me. And they look at her and think, how could she be married to him? They think I'm the biggest stinking jerk in the world, right? And if Michelle could sit him down and say, oh, you don't even know you don't know my husband at all. You don't know him. And I hope that when my funeral comes, that they don't have to stand up there and lie about me. I hope they're going to be able to stand up there and say nice things about me. I did some good things. I did some bad things. What are they going to say about you when you die? Robert E. Lee now is a racist. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a scoundrel. They just won't tell us that he was. He's a scoundrel. Martin Luther King was a womanizer. We know that. Probably a communist. You're not allowed to say that, though. It's probably on right-wing watch. Because see, what they're doing is they're rewriting history. And so what's going on, I talked about this yesterday. Western civilization's under attack. They're trying to tear down all of our heroes. And what? Come on now. Why are they trying to tear down the heroes in the South, specifically? I hit the pause button. Can anybody tell me why they are so intent on tearing down the Confederate heroes?
They still consider us the Bible Belt.
I'll say that again, Ray.
Well, they consider themselves the Bible Belt. That's the stronghold of Christianity in this nation.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't it unbelievable?
That's it.
You guys know Robert E. Lee was a great Christian man, don't you? You know that? They don't teach us that in history. He was a great Christian man. Robert E. Lee, the great... Hey, guys, you know who were some animals? Can I tell you a couple animals that were real close to me here? Fighting for the North. Have you ever heard of Sherman's March to the Sea? You guys heard that? You ever heard about the burning of Atlanta? Did you know that was done by a guy? Well, first of all, Lancaster, Ohio is the birthplace of William Tecumseh Sherman. Okay? It's 25 miles from here. 10 miles down the road, you go 25 miles to Lancaster. You come down the road. I'm in a triangle here, okay? Down here is Somerset, Ohio. They're about maybe 15 miles apart, maybe a little bit more than that. And then I'm 15 miles from Somerset. Did you know Somerset was the home of a guy named Phil Sheridan, General Sheridan? That if you go right now in downtown Somerset, Ohio, there's a statue of Sheridan on his horse, Phil Sheridan. You know that Phil Sheridan and Tecumseh, William Tecumseh Sherman, did the March to the Sea and destroyed the South. They ravaged the South like ISIS would have done. Somebody say amen so you don't think I'm lying. Does anybody know that I'm telling you the truth? You've heard of Sherman's March to the Sea, haven't you?
That's the truth.
That's the truth. Sherman's March to the
Sea. Absolutely.
And what did Sherman do? He made those Southerners pay for their rebellion. That was what on William Tecumseh Sherman's. There's schools named after Sherman in Lancaster, Ohio, in this area. He's a hero. Well, down in the South, even though he lost, who is their hero? Robert E. Lee was their hero. Jefferson Davis, that was their hero. And even though both sides were Christians, see, Jared, this is pulling one out of the hat, if you can do this for me real quick. Pull up the inscription on the Lincoln Memorial. It's Lincoln's second memorial address. And I want you to think about this. General Lee was probably more Christian than Sherman. Lee was more Christian than Sherman. Lee was probably more Christian than Sheridan. Probably. Probably was. And you know that is Jared able to find out if Jared, Jared is unbelievable. Folks, let's go here real quickly. Okay, that's part of it, Jared. The inscription on the wall, the whole inscription on the wall. See, it's right. It's written on the wall right beside Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln Memorial, Lincoln's words. There it is, inscribed on the. There it is, Jared. Well, that's Gettysburg Address, which he's most famous for. Let's just see if Jared can scroll on down there, because this is engraved. It's his second inaugural address. It's engraved. Fellow countrymen, is this it? I want to see what's engraved. Keep going, Jared, if you can find it. I'm sorry I did this to you so quickly, because we would normally have it up there. Here's the point that I'm trying to read as I speak here. Here's the point that I'm trying to make. Both sides prayed to a Christian God. Both sides did. Okay, both sides. Without getting too entangled in the weeds, know this. The most of the assault and the wars in the world have been waged by white men against white men. You understand that? It's not a black-white thing. I'm sorry. It isn't. All of the wars have been white men fighting other white men. It's just the reality of it. It's reality. What are they going to say about you when you die? That's what I'm trying to get at. Abraham Lincoln made that statement, let justice roll down like a river. Both sides prayed to the same God, that the judgments of God are sure. There it is. Yeah, it's an Amos. Maybe I'll find it tomorrow. I don't want to get bogged down, but it's worth reading. Let justice roll down like a river and righteousness. Coach, you're struggling. Here's what I'm struggling to get you to see, folks. They're rewriting history. The left, see, it says the winners write history. Shakespeare said, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your, I come up a berry season, but to praise them. The good that men do is buried with them. No, the evil that men do is buried with them. The good is often tarred with the bones. So let it be with Caesar. And then he went on to praise Caesar. We make up stories about people who die. We make up stories. We pick and choose what we're going to know about, what we're going to remember about. We used to remember that George Washington chopped down a cherry. No, yeah, he chopped down a cherry. If you couldn't tell a lie. That was Abe Lincoln. He couldn't tell. They were righteous, holy men. Not anymore. Everything's changed. See? And everything's changed because they're trying to do everything they can to undermine our Christian civilization. I'm in Galatians. Am I doing okay today? I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm trying to make a point. Okay? Trying to make a point. Galatians 3, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the Galatian church. To those foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?
Wow.
I could preach right there. What an interesting term that is. Time out. I just forgot it. Guys, 7 o'clock tonight, I'm on the Hagman and Hagman Report for now. 7 o'clock tonight. Live around the world, 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, I'll be on the Hagman and Hagman. Maybe I'll talk about this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He says, fellas, you guys know about the crucifixion. You saw it. You understand all of it that's been taught to you. Who bewitched you? Why have you now turned from that truth? This applies to America. This applies to more than Christianity. The lies of who has bewitched us? And we're believing this malarkey that they're telling us. Paul goes on to say that only what I learn of you. Have you received the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did the law bring you righteousness, or did the hearing of the word, did the hearing of the truth set you free? Was it the law that set you free, or the hearing of the truth that set you free? Are you so foolish, he says, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by being a conservative or a liberal or Republican? Who has bewitched you? Who's changed everything on you? Paul's saying. Have you suffered so many things for nothing? If it be yet in vain for nothing. He therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the law or by the hearing of the faith? And even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all people groups be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed because of Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law, they're under the curse of the law. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. That the man doeth them shall live in them. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come into the Gentiles through Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what are you saying? There's only two races, fellas. In fact, this whole idea of race wars is a CIA made-up concoction. And the churches are completely and totally consumed by it, divided by it. I did a little bit of Facebook research yesterday. I can't believe the people who don't get what's going on. Me being a white, I am a white nationalist. Any white nationalists on here with me? Hey, Vince, are you a black nationalist?
I'm a nationalist, baby.
You're a nationalist. You believe America first, right? You believe you're America first. Now, if,
America
Vince,
first,
if you're
second and last, baby.
If you're a black nationalist, does that mean that you think blacks are superior? Of course not. If I'm a white nationalist, does that think I think whites are superior? Of course not. They're the ones who told me my color. I should be a Christian nationalist, not a
exactly.
white one. See, it's all they're doing, the same thing, is to try to divide and conquer the church. You better not miss all of that stuff going on down in Charlottesville, all of it. Right Wing Watch, this will be your headlines tomorrow. Everything that's going on down in Charlottesville is to try to get the white Christian man to shut his mouth and go into hiding. That's all it's designed to do. They honor Black Lives Matter marching in the street. They honor homos marching in the street. But boy, when the white guy comes out, it's racist. Racist. And you know what it does?
Dave?
Yes.
Dave, it doesn't work with me, obviously. It doesn't work.
Doesn't work with you, but hey, Vince, it's working with the majority of Christians. It's working with the majority
of
Christians.
Get the word out. They'll realize it's all a lie, brother. It's all semantics.
Yeah. Well, see, Vince, you're so smart. They're trying to keep us from getting the word out, aren't they? Folks, don't you see it? And they'll retrain our children. They'll retrain our children. They'll shut us up. They'll retrain our children. I'll be dead in 20 years, and my grandkids won't know anything about me. In fact, they'll be writing different things about me. What are they going to say at my funeral? You know what they're going to say? You know what they're going to say at my funeral? There are going to be a lot of people going to drop their jaw. And they're going to say, well, I never knew that about him. I thought he was a hateful bigot. I thought he was an anti-homo evil man. I didn't know that about him. What's happening? Jared, pull up the thing on Robert E. Lee. Guys, I wasn't going to talk about this today, but the Lord wants me to talk about it. This just came out today from the New American. The New American is the John Birch Society. I'm on their, yeah, there you go, Jared. Thanks. This came out, look, attacks upon Robert E. Lee statues betray historical ignorance. You did see, didn't you, that other cities now want to tear down the statues. They want to tear them down. I want them to tear down the statue of Margaret Sanger. Anybody with me on that one? I want them to go around and I want them to tear down every demonic statue on every American building. Anybody with me on that? Anybody with me on that?
Dave, yeah, do you know there's a bunch of Lenin statues all over the United States?
Let's go tear them down, man.
How come we haven't torn those down long before we touch any American statue? It's ridiculous. Well,
can I tell you why, Vince? Can I tell you why? There's an eclipse coming. Oh, it's lining up. It's like everybody said. And in the meantime, the devil's eating our lunch. The New American, attacks upon Robert E. Lee, betray historical ignorance. You ready? Listen to this. After the tragic events in Charlottesville, Virginia, precipitated by the city government's decision to remove the statue Confederate Robert E. Lee from Emancipation Park, isn't that something? Robert E. Lee is in Emancipation Park. So they put a park up honoring the fact that the slaves were emancipated, and they put Robert E. Lee in the middle of it. Why? Because they knew who he was, not who they're telling us he was. The people who put up the statue of Robert E. Lee knew who he was. They knew who he was. Folks, we're going to see the day when they're going to tear down the American flag. Don't think I'm lying to you. They took down the Ten Commandments, not a squawk from anybody. Don't forget. Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. All things Christian need to be destroyed. And if it's not destroyed, they need to retrain you in what Christianity is really supposed to be. And if you think I'm crazy, go to my YouTube page and read the comments of the trolls who are trying to tell me how to be a Christian. And when you go to the trolls page, see, when they put something under there on YouTube and they put their name there, you click on their name, it takes you to their Facebook page or whatever. You know, they're trolls. There's no history there. They've created a name. They just created a name. They troll along, and they go onto my face, my YouTube page, and they say all kinds of disparaging things against me because they're trying to influence you. I wonder why there aren't a million good comments on my YouTube page about what I already said. Why? Because we don't do that stuff. Christians don't get involved there. That's why we lose the PR battle. Stay with me. Emancipation Park. You should be struck by how the animosity toward Lee is based on ignorance of the man and his cause. The case against honoring Lee seems to be that the Civil War was fought to abolish slavery. And since General Lee, is this picture, was the most important military leader of the side that supposedly was fighting to keep slavery, no monument should remain honoring his memory, even in his home state of Virginia. Remember, those who knew him put up a statue. Rush Limbaugh said that history begins the day you were born. That's where most of us are. History begins the day we were born. Slavery was certainly a source of friction between the North and the South, contributing to the decision seven states, stay with me now, seven states, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. Those seven states made the decision to secede from the Union. Seven states, that's all. But one must also look at other factors as well, such as the tariff, which tended to keep the economy on the industrial North at the expense of the mostly agrarian South. In fact, it was almost caused the secession of South Carolina a generation later. Earlier, I'm sorry. Stay with me. And secession was not just a Southern idea. Northern states, more than once, had threatened secession early in U.S. history, largely due to the resentment to the outsized influence of Virginia in the Union. We don't know this history, do we? Stay with me. After seven states left the Union in 1860 and early 1861, eight states where slavery remained a legal institution were still in the Union. So seven states leave, eight Southern states still have slavery, but they stay part of the Union. I lost my spot. Okay, there it is. If the war had been fought to abolish slavery, one wonders why President Abraham Lincoln did not call for an invasion of those eight states as well. So if it was about slavery, Lincoln could have invaded those eight Southern states. He didn't. One of the states that had not seceded was Virginia, where slavery was on the decline and was expected to eventually go away as it had in the Northern states when it was no longer economically viable. Before Lincoln's call for 75,000 volunteers to suppress the rebellion in the South, Virginia had no intention to leave the Union. But once faced with the decision of either invading their neighbors, they said, well, I guess we're going to have to secede too. That's Virginia. They said, we can't attack Alabama. We can't attack these people. I guess we'll have to join them. Wow. General Lee lamented that he could not draw a sword against his home state of Virginia. He said, I can't fight. I can't do that. And thus, he tendered his resignation from the U.S. Army. General Lee was in the U.S. Army. He said, I cannot fight against my home state. Remember, states were the key. States, individual states were the key. Going back to that history on the Constitution. He said, I can't do it. It had nothing to do with protecting slavery, which General Lee detested. He had inherited slaves. However, he freed them all. In a 1856 letter, Lee wrote of his hope that slavery would eventually disappear, declaring, there are a few, I believe, in this enlightened age who will not acknowledge that slavery as an institution is a moral and political evil. He called for prayer to see the final abolition of human slavery through peaceful means. Is this unbelievable? This is unbelievable. Writing the Confederate veteran of 1905, Colonel T.L. Brown of Charleston, West Virginia, recalled having been present at a St. Paul's Church in Richmond, Virginia in 1865. It was Communion Day, Brown writes. When the minister was ready to administer the Holy Communion, a Negro in the church arose and advanced to the communion table. He was tall, well-dressed, and black. This was a great surprise and shook to the communicants and others present. See, blacks shouldn't be doing this, right? The effect upon the communicants was startling, and for several moments, they retained their seats in solemn silence and didn't move. But being deeply chagrined at this attempt to inaugurate the new regimen to offend and humiliate them during the most devoted church service, Dr. Meningrow, the minister, was evidently embarrassed. But General Robert E. Lee was present, and ignoring the action in the presence of the Negro, he rose in his usual dignified, self-professed manner, walked up to the aisle, to the chancel rail, and reverently knelt down to partake of the communion, not far from the Negro. This lofty conception of duty by General Lee, under such provoking and irritating circumstances had a magic effect upon the other communicants who went forward to the communion table as well. By this action, Burns says, the services were conducted as if the Negro had not even been present. It was a grand exhibition of superiority shown by a true Christian and a great soldier under the most trying and offensive circumstances. Besmirching the memory of General Lee by attacking him as a slave-owning racist who led a bloody rebellion to preserve slavery that cost well over 600,000 American lives is despicable. Edward Smith, director of the American Studies at American University of Washington, D.C., and co-author of the book, wrote September 7, 2001, "Today, and deservingly so, Lee is honored throughout this country." Unfortunately, Smith continued, "There are many Southerners who claim to cherish Lee and revere the flag for which he so nobly fought, but still harbor rabid racist sentiments towards blacks and their long-delayed social program. Such people do not honor Lee. Instead, they disgrace him." What are they going to say at your funeral? What are they going to say about you? That you thought Robert E. Lee thought he was fighting for a noble cause, for freedom, states' rights, eventually the granting of liberty to the people through their hearts, not through legislation, setting the emancipation of black Americans through their heart, through Christian love, Robert E. Lee. And they thought so much of him in the South, in the Emancipation Park, they put a statue up. And now these statues are being torn down everywhere. Ten Commandments being torn down. Somebody say amen. I hope you can see a correlation here.
Amen, Coach.
What do they call the South? Amen. Don't they call that the Bible Belt? Isn't the South the Bible Belt? Don't those in Washington, D.C. and George Soros and all those God haters, don't they think those people down in the South, don't they think they're stupid hicks? Don't they think they're hicks with no teeth and a piece of straw in their mouth? Come on, Ed, don't they think that's what they are? Isn't it the ultimate form of bigotry of what they think about those Southerners who want nothing more than to preserve their heritage? Yes, Vince.
Okay, you want to really hit him with this?
Then do it.
Let me tell you how evil the South was. The South was so evil they didn't fall for the "nigger did it" story that Leo Frank tried to use when he first raped and murdered little Mary Fagan, and then tried to blame it on Jim Conley, his pet nigger, not to be vulgar, but his pet Negro. And then when that didn't work, he tried to blame on Newt Lee, the Night Watchman. They also didn't fall for it. He got committed to a death sentence. And his lawyer, who was also the governor of Alabama, got his sentence commuted to life. And the good people said enough of that crap, and they broke him out and they strung him up like the filthy rapist that he was. But we're supposed to think that South doesn't know, doesn't have any brains.
Hey, Vince, why do they call them Southern gentlemen? Why do they call them, did you say Gone with the Wind? Because they believed in morals and right and wrong. And even though they were skewed in certain areas, the intentions of the heart weren't necessarily evil in everything that it was.
Well, there's a trick. There's a trick. The South never owned slaves. They were against the whole thing. People don't seem to know that. You hear them say, slaves. There was a complete lie.
See, they have to do that, though, folks. They have to do that because two things come about as a result. Hey, Jared. See, Google this one. Lyndon Baines Johnson, what he said about blacks voting Democrat. I bet you folks didn't know this. I bet you didn't know that. What's his name? Dr. King was a Republican. I bet you didn't know that the South, Southern Democrats were the racists. See if we can find it. A quote. Here's what Lyndon Johnson said. Right wing watch. When they came up with the Civil Rights Act and welfare and everything associated with it, Lyndon Johnson said, I'll have those niggers voting Democrat for 200 years. There you go.
He missed one. He missed one, Dave.
What's that? What did he miss? Oh, I got you. Yeah, I got you. But Vince, you got to agree 90% of them are, right? And why, folks? Why? Why? Can you explain to me? Come on.
You want to hear it, Dave? It's one word, man. It's one word. And you're ready for it? Gives me dats.
Covetousness, huh, Vince? Talked about that yesterday. Covetousness.
That's right.
Covetousness. And the black church has suddenly, somewhere along the line, become for covetousness. Right? That's what it is. And so to see, hey, Vince, I go to the abortion. I don't mean just be having a dialogue with Vince. I go to the abortion clinic. Half those babies being killed are black. Half of them. You don't get a black preacher to speak out against it, not ever. Jesse Lee Peterson, Clenard Childress, Pastor Manning. There are a few, but for the most part, black church isn't speaking out against it. Why? Because Democrats are for it. They're Democrats, so they can't. Well, they certainly couldn't go against Obama, their guy in the White House. When he said having a baby, his daughter's having a baby, be punished. Hey, Jared, pull up that Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. Pull up that little picture of my grandson yesterday.
While he's doing that, Coach, one of the biggest slave owners in Louisiana during the time of the Civil War was an African-American.
Is that something? Just figured out a way to make some money off of it, huh, Pastor Dale? Figured how to make a little money off of it.
Well, matter of fact, you can do a little Google search. There was black men who owned slaves in all 13 states. And, of course, Andrew Johnson, the founder of the Democratic Party, was one of the most heinous slave owners. Robert E. Lee had no slaves during the Civil War. He had released all of his slaves. Yep, he didn't, you know, he allowed them to live free.
Amen, baby. Amen. So right there on my Facebook page, Jared's got it up there. That's my grandson. He jumped on his bike and he rode down there. We moved. They live about 150 yards up the hill from me. he left the house, jumped on his little scooter. Put his helmet on because his mom tells him he has to wear his helmet. He forgot his shoes, and forgot his pants. And he rode down the hill to see me. And Obama calls that a punishment. Wouldn't want to be punished with a grandchild. Wouldn't want to be punished with a baby. That's where we are. It's amazing the lack of influence of the church in America. Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched? I'm going to shut up here. I got more stuff to do. Somebody jump in here. Roger, you've been quiet 2 days in a row. You still out there? Hey, 4,640 followers have liked our YouTube page, okay? Go there and like it or subscribe to it or whatever, and we're going to check at the end of the day and see how many of you listened. And don't forget, I'm going to be on Hagman and Hagman tonight from 7 until 8. John Robertson, I see John's in here.
Just yes, jumped sir.
In here with us. We're Good going after morning, him tonight, Coach. John. 7 to 8 tonight. I listened to Pastor Begley last night. I was chomping at the bit, ready to get on there, buddy.
Are you serious? Yeah, last night, Coach, good morning, and good morning to everybody in the huddle. A couple things I just want to mention quickly. I've been with you since the start of the show, and I just wanted to make a couple quick comments with the historical context, Coach, that you led off with regarding General Lee and the Civil War writ large, because when we see these conflagrations all over the country. Now, Joe Hagman and I discussed this on the Hagman Daily Show yesterday, and we intend to
hang on, Joe. When's your show on, John?
We roll out on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Channel 3 from 2 p.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday.
So, folks, there's some more you can listen to. John Robertson and Joe Hagman.
It's been a lot of fun. I don't want to go too far in the weeds about the show, but thank you for letting me plug it quickly, Coach. What Joe and I are doing is really more conversant. We're using the news and the current events as a springboard to hopefully address questions that we feel a lot of people out there are asking. So it's a more of a relaxed hour. We bring a lot of show prep to it, but we don't worry too much about our uhs and ums, stuff like that. So it's laid back. But Coach, if I may quickly, I just want to make a couple quick points historically. First of all, about Robert E. Lee. For those folks in the huddle who are interested in history, I would recommend going back and looking at a couple of points in his life before the Civil War. The first is his involvement in the Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848. He went on record and made some comments of high praise regarding the Mexican troops and the Mexican officers that they confronted down in Mexico. Interestingly, most of the West Point graduates that would 20 years later, or 15 years later, fight one another in the Civil War were all U.S. soldiers down in Mexico there in the late 1840s.
Robert E. Lee was a U.S. soldier.
That's what I'm saying. And he was side by side with Sherman and Grant and Stonewall Jackson. They were all U.S. soldiers. But then you look forward from 1846-48, the Mexican-American War. Look forward about 6-8 years to the attempt to foment revolution with the infamous John Brown. Now, most folks don't know this, but John Brown took the federal arsenal, the armory at Harper's Ferry, and that's the act for which he was ultimately hung. However, the officer in charge of mitigating this overtaking of this federal arsenal and all the weapons inside was none other than General Robert E. Lee. Now, I believe he was a captain at the time. But again, he made some comments about John Brown and about what John Brown was attempting to do that would fly directly in the face of this notion that Lee was just some sort of white supremacist racist. The last thing I want to say about General Lee in the Civil War is, folks, please remember that the first 3 years of the war between the states, the war was not about slavery. That's an ex post facto argument. The war was primarily about states' rights and congressional representation based on population, and that's historical fact. And what I would encourage all the Coach Dave Live listeners, go look this up, folks. Under the Constitution, particularly the 10th Amendment, it is each individual state that gives authority to the federal government. It's not the other way around.
John, that's what Robert E. Lee was loyal to his state over the Fed. That's what it was. Correct.
Yes, sir. And I'll just add this quickly, and then I'll let somebody else jump in. If you do some bio background on some of the most famous Confederate or Southern generals, particularly General Robert E. Lee, and also probably the other most charismatic general for the South, Stonewall Jackson, Coach, these men were reputable, knowledgeable, Bible-reading, Jesus Christ-serving evangelical Christians. That's Amen. A fact. In my humble opinion, General Lee and General Stonewall Jackson are existing right now with the Lord in heaven above. I'll make that my final comment.
How about this? They're probably far more Christian than many of the generals we have right now, huh? You'd agree with that one, wouldn't you?
Nice catch.
They just happen to be on the losing side. That's really all it was. Hey, before I forget it, Chad just sent me, guys, August 25th, 26th, 27th, those of you down in Texas Brigade, Chad's having an event at his house. I'm going to be there. I'm going to fly down for it on the 25th. If you need more information, get a hold of Chad. We'll be down there looking forward to raising up those warriors down there in the Dallas, farther down south, in the Austin area, whatever it would be, that whole area down there. Hey, anybody want to jump in here? I got some more stuff for sure. Yes.
Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson, who was a terrible president, said what? He said, if we don't know where we're coming from or where we've come from, we won't know where we're going. This is all about, in order to change this nation, we have to rewrite our history. Brother, this is just all of that ploy about rewriting our history. So we have to erase biblical history was in order to make it this progressive, socialistic, ideology that it's becoming. And, you know, that was Barack Obama's whole thing. You know, we're going to change, you know, change you can believe in. Well, how are they going to do that? They got to change our history. So even when you do Google searches, you can't even find true history. Like Robert E. Lee, I knew about Robert E. Lee. His loyalty was to the state, but because they don't teach that, they don't teach civil history in America in our schools anymore. These kids don't know anything about that. No. When you talk to them on the streets, they don't know what's going on.
Nope, that's right. Got good football teams, good bands. Well, that was a good school. I went there and I turned out okay. Well, that's debatable. We can argue about that all we want to. Anybody else want to jump in here?
Jesus saved your brother. That's why you're a good man now.
Amen. 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 So listen, here is what's frustrating me, I guess. Here's where my frustration level goes up. I see God-fearing people taking the racist bait. I see him taking it. I see him taking it, folks. Rather than coming to the defense, see, white, they are making, it's part of the deal. They're making all white nationalists KKK members. All of them. David Duke. All white nationalists, why they are KKKers and they believe in white supremacy and they want to put blacks in jail and lynch them. Isn't it funny? It's the same thing they say that we do regarding women. We want to take away abortion and put them on their tennis shoes and put them back in the kitchen and take away all their jobs. Do you understand it's the same tactic? And do you understand that what is happening is brave? Well, that's not true. The average Christian man wants no part of it. He is going to hear no evil, speak no evil, and here I do this right. Hear, speak, and see no evil. He is going to shut up, and he's going to have his six-pack of beer, and he is going to let the world go to hell. Except there's something going on, see. So it was very, very important for Soros and his crew. When that party was down there, that white, those white nationalists down there, nationalists meaning America first. I'm a white nationalist, I think. I'm an America first. Now, I couldn't care less about race. I ain't got nothing to do with it. But they had to make sure that when those white nationalists showed up, that there was violence. See, they're violent. Those white nationalists are violent.
Hey, Dave, coach. Let me throw in real quick. They should change it. They've been doing this white nationalist crap all over TV. They should be calling us right-thinking Americans.
They are, Vince. But Vince, our team is buying it. Our team's buying it. Our team's apologizing for white nationalists. I'm not apologizing for white nationalists.
Coach, I've got a question for you.
All right.
Just quickly, do you have an opinion about Joe and I were kind of knocking this one back and forth yesterday. We, the conservative ideology in this country, we have the White House and President Donald Trump. We technically have both houses of Congress, albeit with rhinos and those who would obfuscate the president's agenda. And we have now a conservative leaning Supreme Court. We also have 34 of the 50 gubernatorial positions in this country, 34 out of 50. So, Coach, why is it that those who are on the political right feel the need to engage these leftists and, you know, take their baseball bat downtown and crush heads? We have the halls of power. Shouldn't we be applying ourselves to using the power that we already have? I don't understand why we need to be breaking people up physically.
Well, I agree with you, John, but the reason they're doing it is because the right, yesterday's show, I said I don't like term conservative. I don't even use it. The church folks don't stand up. The church folks just stood up, John. This whole thing would be over. We just stood up. If we marched what we preached, it would be over. If we got out of our churches and went out, and can you imagine? And can come on, folks. Can you imagine in every congressional district if 1,000 Christians showed up outside the congressional office, demand the elimination of Obamacare, and some of this other fooling. Can you imagine? But they don't do that. Who shows up? These other people. These other people show up. And I was reading an article today from on the left. I didn't bring it up. On the left, and you know what they said? They were patting themselves on the back. You know why they what the left's saying? We're being successful because the government's afraid of us.
Well, Coach.
Huh? Are they?
You're no evil. See no evil, speak no evil, pull out the six pack and watch the world go to hell, and join them.
That's what they want me to do, bud.
That's what they're doing.
I ain't gonna do it, Joe. I ain't gonna do it either.
You're right. If we get 500 people, they're trying to influence the next generation.
This is my granddaughter. She stayed with us last night. They're trying to influence the next generation. See, we old guys, we're going to die off. They're trying to convince her that everything her grandpa taught her was racist and bigoted and homophobic, trying to teach her. They're not worried about me. They know I'm going to die off. They're not worried about you. They're after her. And we don't get it.
And they can't get her, brother.
They ain't going to get her. They ain't going to get her. I promise you. But they're going to try. They're going to try. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A wise man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not the fear of Antifa. Not the fear of leftists. No. The fear of the Lord. See, they are so desperate that they are trying to project untruth onto God-fearing, stand up for America kind of people like us. Silent. They're trying to make the silent majority voice. So they want her.
They want her.
School just started. What do you think they're teaching in the schools today? What do you think they're teaching? You think they're having discussions in the high schools about what's going on down in Charlottesville? Think they are? History classes? What do you think they're being talking about? You know it. They've got white kids decrying white nationalism. They've got our children against us. We don't even see it. We don't even think it's, hey, Dale, there's an eclipse coming. Oh, whoa. Things are going about to get serious. Jesus said, you sit on your back porch. I'm paraphrasing. And you see the storm clouds building. Jesus, I'm looking out my window. See on your front porch, you look out to the west, you see the storm clouds brewing. You know, there's a storm coming. You hypocrites, he said. Why can't you look out your window, discern the signs of the times? Why can't you look out your window and see what's going on and think maybe somebody ought to do something? You hypocrites. Flocking to Boise to watch the total eclipse. I'm not making fun of it. But fellas, there are some things that we aren't in control of. If the end's coming, well, I'm certainly not under my control. But you know what is under control? Maybe if I stood up and did something righteous, I would stay his hand of judgment. Maybe I would. I go to bed every night. He's on my mind. And that other little guy, he's on my mind. Every time I go to bed, with every ounce of blood I have, no matter what Right Wing Watch says, no matter what they do on Facebook, no matter what they do on YouTube, no matter what they're going to do, I ain't going silent. I'm not going to go silent. I'm going to continue to take on the hard subject. I'm going to continue to say the hard thing. I'm going to continue. Even dead fish float downstream. I ain't going to be that way. I'm going to be a salmon. I'm going to be jumping. I'm going to be fighting.
Hey, Coach, I want to ask your opinion on something, if I may.
Yeah, John.
So a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to visit with my dad down at his home. And I got what you could call one of those fatherly – I wouldn't call it I was just being advised, but advised with some strength behind it, okay? And my dad made a comment that really resonated with me, and I wanted to bounce this off of you, Coach. My dad said, you know, son, you'd be well advised to remember Jesus cares more about who you are to him than what you do. What do you think of that comment, Coach?
I think I show Jesus who he is to me by what I do. That's what I think.
When he sees me
standing up for him, he knows I love him. I don't just tell him I do. He knows that I do. Dave, yeah, Rod. Yeah.
What I would add is I think the Bible is pretty clear. The one-on-one relationship we have with him is very important. I agree your actions show that, but the one-on-one time with your Savior, I think that's what your dad was getting at. But one is not left out completely with against the other.
No. No, the one leads to the other. The one leads to the other. Faith without works.
Yes, sir. That's what that's I think that is what my father was implying. But, you know, I'm just so blessed because I've, you know, my dad's relatively young and I can engage him and he's a very aware guy that pays attention. But he knows how hard we work, Coach, in what we do with these platforms, et cetera. But I think he was just reminding me and I've said this on air a few times now that like the other gentleman just said, it's easy. I'll be the first to admit this. It's easy for me to dump tons of time into the shows, the articles, and all of this stuff, which, yes, that has a very positive effect on people. Hopefully it drives them back to the cross as much as we can. But sometimes, to be honest, I will sacrifice that personal time with the Lord. And I hate to admit that about myself, but it's the truth. And I bet there's others out there. Yeah.
I get your point. Hey! What you do matters. Your expressions, your behaviors demonstrate your love. Hagman and Hagman tonight, 7:00. We'll see you live tomorrow morning. God bless you all.